Hey, everybody, this is John.
And Jason.
And this is Two Farts.
In a Can.
Okay, we've got somebody all the way across the big pond in Hawaii. Can we now explain what that means?
Not a chance in hell. Not with this guy on the phone.
Okay, moving on. Hey, everybody, this is John Moore from Two Farts in a Can. With Jason's going to be with me in just a second. We got a big one today. It's called Buffalo River Deliverance. You heard that right. Buffalo River Deliverance. Greg Feitz is going to be joining us. We're going to get to him in just a second. But right now, let's go to this. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Two Farts in a Can. I'm one of your hosts, John Moore. Also with me is Jason Salter. Jay, what is going on, my buddy?
Not much, my brother. I've been missing you like I missed a wart on my ass, but I'm glad you're back.
That's always great to hear the love you have for me. It's always wonderful.
I don't know what's worse, that love or the wart on my ass, but it's good to see you.
Hey, I see someone else on the screen that I haven't talked to in many, many years. In fact, it may be back as far as that picture that we have in his driveway where we're all there with the basket. That's the weirdest picture I've ever seen in my life.
I actually have it. I'm going to see if I can find it.
If you can find that thing. But it's Greg Feitz. Greg Feitz is joining us all the way from Hawaii. Greg, what part of Hawaii are you in?
I live on the island of Kauai.
On the island?
It's of north, island of Kauai. It's its own kind of municipality. It's each island is its own county. So I am northwest of Honolulu.
So you got to tell us, what are you doing there? Tell us what you're up to.
I run a restaurant called Street Burger.
Come a little closer. You broke up there a second. Say that again.
I run a restaurant called Street Burger. It's like a high-end oysters, burgers, craft beer, tourist kind of type place.
Now, so if are you married?
Yep. Got married. I'll be married 4 years in September.
4 years. And tell us about the woman that we can question her choices that decided to hitch her wagon to you. Tell us about her.
Her name is Lee. Lee Drachman, formerly. She works for Wilcox Hospital. She is an incredible woman. She's a marathoner and a triathlete, and she has been all over the world and done everything, and we settled down about 4 years. We've been together about 10.
So she gave up.
Oh yeah, pretty much. She settled. She definitely settled.
He started saying that she's a marathoner. She's a, and I went, she's basically everything you're not, is what she is.
Oh yeah, pretty much. Pretty much, yeah. We're definitely yin and yang.
Hey, let me tell you what, everybody I've ever had on here, and Jay can confirm this, Jay's got Jill, I've got my wife, Kathy, we way outkicked our coverage. I mean, there's mornings I wake up, roll over, and Kathy's laying there, and I'm like, wow, you're still here. I can't even believe it. That's amazing.
Oh, absolutely. She definitely puts up with me.
Yes, I could only imagine. Knowing you and some of the stories we're reading. In fact, the big story today that we're going to get into is called the Buffalo River Deliverance. Now, for me, this is one I didn't go on. Jay, set us up on this. Tell us what we're going to be. Basically, give us a basic outline before we get into it a little later.
Well, it was basically me, Greg, Kelly Foote, Chad Klemmer, and Scott Brickman. And those of you who know us know that that is a fucking recipe for disaster.
It could be. Yeah.
The five of those people. Now, yeah. Imagine we're in a van with a No Limit American Express card, all the wild turkey and bush beer you can drink, and cigars.
Okay, that's all you got to say. And we're going to get into
it. Out of control from there.
Here's the only thing I've ever heard about this story was when you came back. And you guys rubbed it in. I don't remember why I didn't go. I don't know what was going on.
Well, you weren't invited.
Oh, okay. So that's what it was. So I wasn't invited. Hey, Jay, before we get rolling into this thing, why don't you tell everybody how they can find us?
Sure. You can find us obviously on Facebook and a live video on our normal weekly podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Two Farts in a Can. That's at Two Farts in a Can on Twitter. You can find us on our website, which is at Two Farts in a Can. I think you figured out the pattern already.
Not at, that's www. That's how the
www.twofartsinacan.com.
Yes.
.com.
Yeah.
You can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, pretty much any podcast station that you listen to, you can find us. If you just go in the search bar, type in the number two, not the word, Farts in a Can, and we'll pop right up. All of the YouTube videos are available on YouTube, and they're also actually on the website as too at www.twofartsinacan.com. You can go there, click on YouTube, you can watch all of the videos there, and you can communicate with us that way as well.
Yeah, we'll get this video out later this week. Greg, let me ask you, when's the last time you've been to Texas?
Yeah, 2016 was the last time I was in Texas.
Is your brother still here?
Yeah, he's right there.
What's up, brother?
Oh, Timbo!
Is that Tim?
Yeah, he moved out here last June.
Oh, now, so he's got, now you've got a niece, or is it a niece or nephew? I've seen
two nieces, Berkeley and Carson and his wife Kim. And then my mom and dad are here about 6 or 9 months of the year as well.
Wow. Okay. So when you went to Texas, is that when Tim was living here and you came back to visit?
No, he was on probation.
Because yeah. Here's the question. So I actually, Jay's out in Florida. I live up in North Dallas now in Richardson. You guys will know where Richardson's from, you know, just from being a Dallas kid for all the years you were. But I do office in Duncanville. And so have you seen, when is the last time you drove by the old house, your old house?
10, 15 years probably.
10 or 15
years?
It's
been a long time since I've been back to Duncanville. Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you, it's sad. We had many a fun time at that house, and you cannot, this is not a joke, you cannot see that house. There's still the big field behind where that house was. It's a soccer field or whatever. It's still there. You cannot see the front, the side, or the back of that house for the overgrown trees, and it's like, I'm scared. I'm wondering if there's someone that hasn't been dead in there for 15 years. I don't know. No one ever trims it. And knowing the city of Duncanville that I have to deal with on a lot of code things, I don't know how they did, but it's never been cut. And I have so many, I've driven in that cul-de-sac just to see if I could even see the front door of where it was. And you can't, I mean, even the side, the, remember you had the driveway went down the side. That's where we played basketball. I mean, it's grown around there. I was afraid if I pulled into the driveway that Sasquatch would jump out and grab me or something. I mean, it is bad. I don't know what happened to that place after your folks let it, you know, sold it and got rid of it. But man, I'm assuming there's still a pool back there.
There might be. Yeah. They left when Jeffrey was a sophomore. So that's got to be like 88. Yeah, 88, 89, that was when they left and went to North Carolina.
Wow. Yeah, I remember because your dad's a pharmacist. I remember that. And we had some fun times at that house. I can remember a lot of fun times at that house.
There were some good parties. There were some good pool parties. It was a lot of fun. That was close to the high school. Everybody used to come over there and eat, raid the refrigerator. Yeah, we used to stash beer in the bushes. Oh, yeah, we had a lot of fun there.
Well, I can tell you this. Because of Greg Fites, I did not take the SAT. My mom.
It's probably because the Scirocco wouldn't start.
Probably.
My mom paid for me to take the SATs. That was on a Saturday. Supposed to start at 10 a.m. And we went, and Greg said, hey, y'all come over. I've got beer. We got the hot tub. We went over, and we did what we normally do at Greg's. And when I opened my eyes again, it was about noon. And I was 2 hours past being at the SAT, and my mom still to this day doesn't realize I never took the SATs.
Does now.
Well, she probably does now.
Well, I'm 52 years old, so if she grounds me, you know, I really like, that's all right, all my crap's here, so I can stay at home.
I'll sneak out.
So hey, how...
We brought up the Scirocco. Do you remember? Do you remember how we used to get the Scirocco started?
Well, yeah, there was a pencil involved, and we had to break it off in the hole in one of the hoses, and there was also some pushing involved. That's how I remember. How did you remember?
Well, if I remember correctly, most of the time I had to finger the ashtray.
I do remember that, yes. And you talked dirty to it, and it worked on more than one occasion, I believe.
It always worked. You just had to do it long enough.
Yes, yes.
Most women a little fickle.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I'm telling you, but the house itself, there's been, I know, you know, I like to brag about all the times that I had relationships with a girl in high school.
You mean both?
Mm-hmm. Never. yeah, I bragged about it. The experience wasn't actually there, but the closest I ever came was the closest I ever got to that was two times in that hot tub with two different girls, and I will not mention them. They are both happily married now, and I'm not going to bring that up. But two times, they know who they are in that hot tub. I came close, but they were good defenders, and at the end, they...
that hot tub saw its fair share of shenanigans. Jumping off the roof into the pool.
Oh, yeah.
Beer foam flowing off into the pool. Oh, yeah. Drunk dogs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you don't have to tell me. I know. I mean, I can remember. Let's just say that when I got out of that pool on two occasions, you could tell that I had enjoyed myself. Is that a way to put it? You could have hung clothes to dry on me, maybe, or
yeah, you could have raised a flag.
You know what? Boy Scouts could have camped. That's what we could say, right? Under the tent, maybe.
Yeah, there you go.
Dude, there are 150 people listening right now that are saying, "Please don't say my name. Please don't say my name."
I know. Yeah, and it's not because their husbands wouldn't care or whatever. They don't want to be exposed as the ones. that were in the pool with John Moore. That's the one. Look at me. I mean,
that's a very good point.
One day I thought that was cool.
John got up and went, "Chicks will dig this."
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
With that haircut. Okay. So, you know, in a more serious note, before we're going to get into the story of the Buffalo River Deliverance, which I can't wait for, but we wanted to, you know, Jay and I tried to do current events, current news, and I know Greg there in Hawaii has been keeping abreast of things that are going on. First and foremost, without a doubt, let me get this out of the family of George Floyd. I want to tell you right now, I'm a guy that defends police officers. I try to say, let's see what's going on before we jump to any conclusions or do anything. That guy got murdered. I don't care what you say. There ain't any way you can't look at that and tell me that that guy did not do this. And I want to know that family right now, I'm reaching out to all of my friends that of color or anybody, believe me, this has been an eye-opening experience. And I want y'all to know that there are some of us that don't get it. We don't, and we're learning, and we want to learn, and we want to work together to do this. There is no doubt where, you know, look, there's a lot of rioting going on. We don't like to see a lot. And you know what? The part that really ticks me off, I'm noticing more spoiled white kids doing the rioting than anybody. And that really makes me mad. When you've got black Americans out there peacefully trying to walk the streets to go, hey, man, this is a problem. And let me tell you, when I get pulled over, I'm never scared. You know, I'm not. And this is a real issue. And my eyes have opened to it. And I've heard stories. And by God, you know what? We have all taken notice. I don't care whether you're on the right, the left, or whatever. We're taking notice to this, and I'm telling you right now, our eyes are awake, and we're not going to stand. Also, there are a lot of wonderful police officers out there, and we back the blue, and we're there. But you guys need to look inside. You need to look at what you're being taught and what's going on, because you know what? There's some stuff that's got to change. And Jay, your dad's a retired police officer, so I love the blue. But there is. We've got to talk. Let's all sit down. We need to talk about this.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you, with Dad being a retired cop, this hits really close to home, and so it, you know, it makes me think about those things. And you know, you guys knew my dad well. He's a good man, and still is. But the thing that really worries me, and I was having this conversation with some people today, is it's like you said, those spoiled white kids, these Antifa kids, that they're playing protester, and I can't say this with enough emphasis, and I hope this is taken in the right way, but if you spend long enough looking for the bad side of somebody, you're gonna find it. So I'm begging you, please stop busting windows and burning things down, because it's just a matter of time before you break the wrong window and you light the wrong building on fire and you see the crazy side of the people that you actually are angry at will actually surface, because you will root them out. So I'm begging you, don't do that, because it's going to turn ugly and it's going to get worse for everybody. Protest in peace. I'll stand next to you. I'll defend you till the end, because I, like John said, I agree with everything you're doing, but don't dehumanize it by doing what you're doing. The shattering of the glass and the breaking of the homes and the burning of the buildings, something really bad is going to happen. So please, just if you know people that are involved in that, tell them to reel it in before they actually find what they're looking for. And I don't think that turns out well for anybody.
Hey, and you know what? We need to let our black friends, our black Americans that are out there, they need to go do their protest. And they need to be walking the streets and do this. That's what I believe. And for you little punk, white, spoiled kids that want to jump in the middle to do it, I mean, come on. It makes me so – and I saw a lot of just outstanding black Americans telling these kids, would you cut it out? Because they're not coming after you like they're going to come after me doing that. And that really made me mad, because the police are going to defend themselves. And if they target the wrong guy and they go after some just young black man because this one dumb black kid in a mask threw and broke a window and they go after that kid, you're not helping, man. You're not helping. The African-American community is very upset, and they should be. And by God, there's some of us that don't know what they're going through. So we need to step back, let them have it, and let us know that we love you guys. We're with you. Let's sit down. What are the police being taught? I want to know what they're being taught. I really do. Somebody tried to say that, well, you're taught to put your knee on someone's neck for 8 minutes straight. I mean, when you got handcuffs on a guy, I'm sorry. He can bitch and scream all he wants. When he can't move his arms, get off him. Stop. Get him in the car. You just ignore him. He can't do anything. You know, he's not going to run fast with hands behind his back. God dang, man. It was sad. I'm telling you. And my eyes got opened up a lot to that. And Greg, are y'all seeing anything in Hawaii at all? Are there any protests?
No protests. If they are, they're small. But I'm a news junkie, and I've been watching everything on the news since all this started, since George Floyd was murdered.
Thank you, murdered. Peaceful
The peaceful protests that started were a good thing. A lot of people taking advantage, and a lot of people out.
Yeah. And let me tell you this, for the people, look, and everyone knows me, I've kind of float the middle now. Jason probably leans a little more to the right. Greg, you may lean a little more to the left. Let me tell you something. There are conservatives out there. You need to stay at home. You know what? Let them have their day. They need to have their day. And if you think you need to go out and start protecting people's, you know, protect your own self. I understand that. But let's not go looking for anything. Okay? Let's not. I think we lost Greg a sec. We'll give him a second to try to.
He's coming back.
Oh, there he is.
There I am.
Now that he's back, let's talk about titties and beer.
Hey, Greg, let me ask you this now on a different subject. I do want to get into COVID-19 in Hawaii. What are y'all still quarantined? Are you opening back up? Is your restaurant open?
The restaurant's open for takeout. They just opened up, wanted to open up at 50% capacity. We were not one of them. We're going to continue to do takeout. We're not built for that. We're a dine-in experience.
Yeah.
A lot of the restaurants in Hawaii are open air, and a lot of 50% or 75% of their seating is outside. We're not one of them. And so they're requiring masks in and out, but they're not. They haven't come up with a whole lot of guidance. But we don't have any cases here on the county of Hawaii. So we're kind of in our own little bubble here. We had 20 cases, and that was it. And we haven't had a case for 6 weeks.
That's good. Great news. That's good to hear that. And I do, and like I've said all along, there's people that say, wow, this is a farce. And then there's people that say, wow, we need to all hunker down. I think responsibly we can start to try to open this thing back up. But there's people that just need to, you know who you are. If you've got some conditions, you don't need to go anywhere. I'll go get your groceries for you. We'll do whatever to do that. There are people that still don't need to be out. We need to be cognizant of that. We need to be realistic. This isn't a joke. It's not the flu, guys. It is worse than the flu. So, it will affect the healthy people like the flu. It's probably not going to bother you as bad. But you know what? That doesn't mean you just go, be responsible. And the young kids today are being idiots. That's who's the worst of it, is the young ones. They're just being dumb.
Well, we have a 14-day quarantine here in Hawaii. If you visit Hawaii, you have to quarantine in your hotel room for 14 days. That's a vacation.
Yeah. So that's gonna hurt the tourist industry.
Oh yeah, our economy does go without the credit cards getting off the plane. So we're in limbo right now, and we're trying to keep our elderly and people at risk safe, and I think the governor and the mayor have done a good job, but at some point open it up.
Yeah, and responsibly. And maybe
that's
we can
the key, responsibly, yes.
And maybe we can see those tourists come off the plane and give them 24 hours and have tests for them, let them check temperatures, mm-hmm. do the tests, do that, and then let's get them out on the oceans, out in the restaurants, and let's get them going. Greg depends on it. That's what his business is. We want to see it all happen, yep. But we got to be responsible.
And next week on Good Morning America, John talks about COVID.
What'd you say?
Nothing. I want to talk about titties and beer.
Okay. Well, we're getting, you know what? We have to be serious every time too. Okay. Now listen, Jay, before we get into the story, tell me about the feedback and the photos.
So I'm posting some of them. If you're watching the, live feed, you can see them popping up behind me. And I got Lee Lynch behind me right now. But I tell you, it was so much fun. It started off a little slow, and people were a little sketchy about jumping in with the deuces thing. And then it just kind of took on a strange life of its own.
Yeah.
So these things just started rolling, and I was like, all right, well, I'm going to go start printing some pictures. And John goes, how many are you going to print? And I'm like, ah. What the hell is that? So I started printing pictures, not that picture. I said, well, I think I'm going to print 20. And before I could actually get them ordered, it had gotten up to about 18 or 19. So I said, well, I guess I'll print like 30. Well, you can't print 30. You got to print 40. You got to print them in increments of 20 at Walgreens. So about the time I got them ordered, John goes, I think we're going to need more than that. So now we're, I don't know, $200-$300 into it. We're the worst marketing team on the face of the earth. We spent $300 or $400 to send out free shit for a podcast we don't get paid for. But it was so cool because everybody got, and as they're getting them, they're holding them up and taking the pictures. We have had so much fun watching the expressions on you guys' faces. And thank you for the support. That's why we do is work every nickel to see your faces in those pictures.
Oh, the Brian Etheridge look is the absolute look that I was trying to get from everyone. The what?
I had him up just a second ago. I'll see what I can find.
His look on his face of, are you kidding me? I mean, and Greg, you should read. We wrote him a letter that said, congratulations, you know, that you did that. But you got to show us a picture holding the picture, the autographed picture. And then at the bottom, I went, I know this is stupid. You've got an autographed picture of two guys that nobody has literally ever heard of.
And that's the whole point. It's kind of for everybody. It's on the end. This isn't, you know, something. It might get bigger than this, but it's all inside jokes.
fantastic.
Oh, it's been fun. I started, Greg, and I know you being a Tiger fan, you don't understand us Texas Ranger fans, but so I've actually started doing a Texas Ranger.
I rooted for the Rangers enough.
Dude, I know. We've been to many games. I remember. Yes, I still remember this, Jay, sitting in the stands. We're in those outfield stands at the old Arlington Stadium, and Greg and I are out there. And I'll never forget it. There was a group of us. We, you know, used to could go with $10, buy a $4 ticket, have two beers, and leave, and still have $2 in your pocket if you had a $10 bill.
And if you got the third inning, you got to play.
Yeah. But it was beginning of the season, and people around there were making their predictions: who's going to win it, who's going to do it. And Greg said, "Tigers." You know, he's winning. Tigers. This is the Tigers. They're going to do it. And, of course, I'm a Ranger fan, and it was really stupid to even mention Rangers at the time. They weren't going to do anything. But I went, you know what? I tell you who's going to do it. Oakland. I think Oakland A's are going to be it. That was when McGuire and Canseco came into the picture. And I carried that around a long time that was my claim to fame. But then again, I also said Ryan Leaf would be a better quarterback than Peyton Manning. So my predictions don't go that well. All right. So Jay, let's get into the story. This is the Buffalo River Deliverance. Let's start it this way. What prompted it? Who called who first and said, "Hey, what do you think? Let's get this together."
So first, let me lay just a little bit of foundation for those of you who don't know how Greg and I's relationship worked. And it may have been the best thing and the worst thing that ever happened to us was he and I becoming friends, because we were literally the same guy and tried to outdo the other guy every time we were together.
And so, I can back that up. They did. Yes. Now, wait a minute. We got to give the toughness award to Greg, because I was standing next to him in the pickup when we took the left turn, and he went flying out the side of the pickup. So,
what's the best part of that story? Do you remember?
He jumped up, jumped back in, and didn't have anything. Oh, yes, drinking.
Spill his beer.
Didn't spill his beer. And he should have broke his arm, a leg. I mean, we weren't putting around. We took that turn out there hard, and all I heard was, "Oh, shit!" And I looked to my right, and I saw legs. Oh, I bet you were sore the next day.
A little bit, probably, yeah. Was that the night of the scavenger hunt, or was that the night we went down to Texas OU?
Oh, in Texas OU, we left you there.
Yeah.
Well, I got left too. Who was driving that night? That's right, because Greg, were you driving, or were you?
It was Chavez's pickup, wasn't it?
Okay, it was Chavez's pickup. That might have been that night, because we got out. We were stuck in that Texas OU stuff, and me and you, Greg, got out to go walk down the street. And we just thought, we'll go down here and we'll come back, and Chavez was gone.
Yeah.
And we had to hitch a ride home from downtown Dallas. You didn't have cell phones back then. No cell phones. You couldn't just call somebody.
We weren't calling our parents. I don't think we were supposed to be there anyway.
Yeah. We were either walking across the Trinity River and heading to Duncanville, but luckily some guy, I don't even remember who it was like, "I live Cedar Hill" or something. And he dropped, you know what? Didn't he drop us like on the highway, like at 67 and Danieldale or something? He just dropped us there.
He may have taken this to McDonald's. We could get home from McDonald's.
Yeah, we could always get home from McDonald's. That's what it was. Okay, so start your story.
Stories to set some context for Greg and I. So the first one, and talking about getting home from McDonald's, Greg and I were famous for going to some weird party at people's houses that we didn't know, that we heard about through a friend of a friend of a friend.
Yeah, hang on a second.
Okay, we'll just wait here, John. Go ahead. But we would end up in bumblefuck Egypt, like in, I don't know, Denton or something at a party.
Cedar Hill.
Cedar Hill. Trying to come home, and we would get lost. And, I mean, literally driving around for hours. And we would be, I don't know, in Grand Prairie, and Greg would go, "I know how to get home from the airport." And we would go all the way back to the airport so that we could then come through the airport so that Greg knew how to get us home.
That's hilarious.
True story. Did it more than once. I'm certain of it. Now, here's the other story. So Greg and I, it was me, Greg, and Scott McKee. We had an apartment in Arlington. Nice.
Oh, Jesus.
Our apartment in Arlington, it was a great apartment. I don't know how the hell we got it. I'm certain we lied, but we got this apartment. So it's the three of us. And Tracy Bridges, who's on here, and she said her husband was listening, so you might want to ask him to turn away. But Tracy was with us as usual, and Greg and I went out that night to a local bar, which was literally 10 minutes down the road. And she said to us as we left, whatever you do, do not drive home after you've been drinking. And we said, we won't. Now, we knew it was a lie, but we knew also knew it was the only way she's going to let us leave. So we left, 2 a.m, here we come. I come stumbling through the door, and Tracy says, I thought you promised you wouldn't drive home drunk. And I said, I didn't. And I barely got the word didn't out of my mouth, and Greg fell through the door into a pile of dirty clothes, and I went, he did. It did not go over well. So here's the Arkansas story. This is Buffalo River Deliverance. So okay. It's our senior year in high school.
I'm excited.
Everybody else is going to Cancun. They're going to Padre. They're going to all these places for their senior trip. Not us.
You picked Arkansas.
It's me, Foot, Clemmer, and Brickman, all at, I'm pretty sure it was Clemmer's house, and we're talking about where we're going to go. And Clemmer says, my parents have always gone up to Buffalo River, and I've gone with them, and it's such an amazing time when you go. So we decided, all right.
We can hear you.
Like, we decided that sounds like a great idea. So through our drunkenness that night, we have decided that we are going to Buffalo River.
Pause just a second, Jay. Hey, Greg, down in the left-hand corner, you see a video camera down there. You might have hit. If you hit a button, you disappear like this, and you just hit it to come back. It's
no, I think it's just my bad internet connection.
There he is.
How do you?
There's a sport.
There he is. I see.
So we decide we're going to Buffalo River. So we draw out these plans. We plan it out. Chad Clemmer's dad loans us. What kind of van was that, Greg? You and I were talking about it earlier today.
It was an Econoline van.
An Econoline van. So it was basically a child molester van.
Sure.
The five of us. And so we go to stock up for this trip, which consists of, and God bless Clemmer's dad for giving us an unlimited American Express card just in case. Those three were probably the worst thing that ever happened to the guy. He's probably still paying the bill at this point. So we're like, all right, great. So our supplies consisted of a couple bottles of Wild Turkey 101, several cases of Busch Light, Schaefer, and what other random shit we could find. A pack of Swisher Sweet cigars. Actually, it's probably about 20 packs of Swisher Sweet cigars. And a couple of sandwiches.
There was a bottle of tequila.
And a bottle of tequila.
There's always a bottle of tequila.
And we pile into this van at, I don't know, probably 4 o'clock in the morning. And we're in it, and you can imagine how excited we are, right? It's 4 o'clock in the morning. We're going on this great adventure. We all pile in the van. It's, yeah, we're off to the races. We drove about 45 minutes, blew the timing chain, and spent 17 hours in Sulphur Springs, Texas, waiting on a part.
With an unlimited credit card.
With an unlimited credit card, all the Wild Turkey and tequila and beer we could drink, and a pack of Swisher Sweets. Within 45 minutes, and this is 8:30 in the morning, we are on top of the van, shirtless and drunk.
Good.
Yeah.
Waiting on them to fix this part. Finally.
Asked him if there was anywhere to eat, and he said there's a bowling alley right here.
Was it a bowling alley or a Stuckey's?
There was a bowling alley that had like a deli or something, or like a sandwich shop attached to it or something.
Jay, this is 1986. I don't think there was anything as Stuckey's around then.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it was out of them. If you've ever been to Sulphur Springs, and I don't know what Sulphur Springs is now, but it was a gas station and a fart. That was it. I mean, there was literally nothing there. So we get this thing fixed. We finally get on the road. And we drive for what seemed like eternity, which in retrospect was about 3.5 hours. And we ended up in Hot Springs, Arkansas. And we were tired. And so somebody had the idea, I think it was Chad, because he had been there before. And he said, you know, if we go to Hot Springs, we can go swimming in the springs. And so we should stop there.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. So we were going to go swimming in the springs. And Greg, do you remember what happened with the springs? I don't remember us actually finding them.
It was closed and we tried to break in at night.
Apparently breaking into a national park's not the best idea.
Really?
Yeah.
That's how especially we ended up at the trip dark. Club.
So we wind up at, I'm pretty sure it was called the Black Cat, although don't hold me to that. It was a strip bar. So let me set a little context here, because this story just gets more and more outrageous as we go.
Okay, so a strip bar in Hot Springs, Arkansas.
On Tuesday night.
So I guess the talent was questionable.
It was a target-rich environment. It was the five of us. The strippers and two drunk guys from Deliverance. I swear to God. So we come in, we're all underage. Our first sign should be that we showed them ID and they went, come on in. Except for Brickman, because Brickman looked 11 and he probably still looks 11 to this day. So they did not believe it. So he's busy flirting with the hostess girl, which I guess is the stripper that was off that night. And so they're out front.
No, it was her rotation at the front door, I bet.
It may have been. Maybe she was on break.
So after side stage number two, you have to go to the front door and let people in.
So we
put on something nice.
We get escorted in, and they spit us. And if you've been to a strip club, which I'm certain everybody has.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
So there's the main stage, which is like a – you know, it's a long stage so that these girls can dance out onto it. So they set us down right there in the front. And we've got our Swisher Sweet cigars, and it's near beer night, right? So it's $10 a pitcher, and it's all you can drink. Well, we don't know what near beer is at the time, so we think we're getting a great deal. So we are chug-a-lugging this stuff. You can't catch a bus because it's like 3%. Anyway, we're drinking this beer and smoking these cigars, and the show starts. And these women start coming out. And when I tell you one of them had a cesarean scar, I wish I was making that up. It was not an attractive night. So finally, the prettiest girl in Hot Springs at a strip club on a Tuesday night comes out onto the stage. And she's about our age. And she walks down to the end of the stage, and she's stripping, and she does her little kneel down. And she goes, y'all want to see something cool? Yes, ma'am, we do.
I do.
She says, go to the bar and get a roll of silver dollars. Tell the bartender you want a roll of silver dollars. All right. So we go get the roll of silver dollars. She says, I'm going to get back here at the end of this stage. And she's got a brandy snifter there. She says, I want you to roll the silver dollars down the bar. And I'm going to pick them up with my butt cheeks and drop them into the brandy snifter.
Talent. That's talent.
This is the greatest thing we've ever seen at 18 years old.
Yeah.
So we're like, hell yes.
I mean, I didn't get to see it. Sorry, but I'm in. Yeah. At 18, I would have enjoyed this.
She's 6 or 8 feet away from us in a crab position, naked. And we're rolling these silver dollars down the end of the bar. And she's picking them up with her butt cheeks and dropping them in a brandy snifter. Foot is sitting next to me, so you can only imagine where we're headed. Foot hasn't rolled a silver dollar in an hour, but he's looking straight down. And I go, what are you doing? And he goes, shh. And I look down, and he's got a silver dollar, and he's heating it up with a lighter. When I tell you it was blue hot. It was so freaking hot, he couldn't hold on to it. And he goes, look out, look out. And he rolls it down the bar. She goes to scoop it up, and it hits her butt cheeks. And she shot off of that bar at least 4 foot in the air, smashes down on the end of the bar, and goes screaming off into the curtain. Here come the no-neck mongoloids to throw us out. Foot looks at me and goes, run. So here we go.
How many stories with Foot, literally, did we not hear run.
Well, yeah. Because if you don't run when Foot says run, there's a good chance you end up dead.
Yeah, well, he's going to beat you, so you're going to be the one that gets caught.
Oh, my gosh.
Greg, where were you at this time?
Oh, I was drunk at the very far end, and then when they said run, I got up and was the first one out the door. And Greg was still sitting there with the
basketball
with
player.
The hostess. Yeah, basketball player. But the hostess and Brickman, the wide-eyed look in his face, because he was having a ball. He was having an absolute ball with this girl because he wasn't having to spend any money. She was cute, and he was all alone with her. So, yeah, we hit the door, and we were looking for the man. Once we got settled in the cover and decided that he wanted his cover.
Okay, wait. Stop just a sec. Okay, so you broke up pretty good there. So lean a little closer and start that again. So then there was what?
All right. So then we found and decided that he wanted his cover.
So I'll finish it.
Okay.
So you're breaking up or catching about every third word. So we all go out and jump in the child molester van, and Clemmer wants to shoot the windows out as we drive by.
Of the topless bar?
Of the topless bar. Because the no-neck mongoloids are standing in the parking lot throwing beer bottles at us. And so he's trying to throw the side door of the van open so that he can shoot the windows out, and Greg's wrestling the gun away from him. In the van. As we're going 30 past the club.
And Brickman made it, I guess he's in the car now?
Oh, yeah. He followed us out and got into the car. So that was our – that was just the first stop.
So that's welcome to Hot Springs. Okay.
Yeah, welcome and goodbye.
Yeah.
All in one fell swoop. So we get in the car, and we get to the campsite. And it's a beautiful place. If you've ever been up in Arkansas, up there in the Ozarks, it's absolutely beautiful. So we're there, and it's Buffalo River, and it runs down between the mountains. It's exactly like you would picture. It's a big rafting area and stuff. And so we get checked in, and we build our campfire, and we end up partying with the Rangers. The Rangers that were there, we're all about the same age.
I can hear you, Greg, but I can't see you.
I'm back.
So we're there at the campsite, and we start drinking, setting up our campsite, and we stumble across several of the Rangers. I don't know if they were interns or, college students or whatever, but we were all about the same age. And so they came over and started partying with us, and we ended up making friends with them. So we drink all night long. The next day, we rent our canoes, and in our infinite wisdom, we decided we're going to take the six-hour canoe trip because that should be fun hungover, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. So we get on this bus and we haul ass up in, we're in this bus. If you've ever done it, so you got to go on this bus. You go miles and miles and miles up the river, and then you get out, and then they drop you in. So we got these.
Because six hours on a river is probably 25 miles up the road.
Oh, easily. And we packed well for it, as you can imagine. So we've got a case of beer, a can of Pringles. That's pretty much it. That's pretty much all we have for the next 6 hours.
It's really all you need.
Yeah. So it's, I don't know, it's 150 degrees in the shade, and we're floating down the river in Arkansas. Who's that little girl behind you, John? So we're floating down the river in Arkansas in the heat. The case of beer between the five of us lasts, I don't know, 45 minutes. So what's the only option we have? Well, you got to trade the Pringles for more beer.
Yeah.
So now we're floating down the river, and we're trying to make friends, and Greg is swimming across the river with the can of Pringles in his mouth.
Like a retriever.
Yep. To get to another canoe so that he can retrieve more beer for the trip.
Uh-oh. There he goes. He's back.
We got a time delay maybe in Hawaii.
Yeah, internet's spotty.
That's all right. So we're cruising down the river. Greg trades our only food source. So we make some friends. We end up pulling off on this one place where you can pull off and go swim. So we're like, let's pull off and go swim. Sun's starting to go down. It's getting dusk. It's really nice out. So we pull off in this little cove. We pull all the canoes up onto the cove. And Greg's like, I'm going to take a swim. Pretty sure it was Greg. And if it wasn't Greg, correct me. Greg says, I'm going to take a swim.
Well, he's already been a retriever, so he's wet. Yeah. So
we're on the beach, and we're smoking cigars, and we're drinking. And Greg goes out for a swim. Now, keep in mind, it's dusk. It's kind of dark. Clemmer's standing there watching Greg swim, and he says, Greg, get out of the water.
Oh, Greg, shit. I forgot about this.
What's wrong? And he goes, just really slowly swim back to the bank and get out of the water. And he's like, what's the matter? Clemmer's got this gun, and it's the gun that we brought with us. And thank God we brought it. And Clemmer's
it was Brickman in the water.
Brickman, that was it. So he's swimming back. And Clemmer's got the pistol, and he starts shooting on either side of Brickman. Like within 2 foot of him.
Now I'm starting to think I'm glad I missed the trip, but keep going.
It's a miracle that we're not dead. It's a miracle
dead
that
or in prison.
Not telling this story. Dead or in prison.
Dead or in prison.
Yes.
And if we were in prison, we'd probably be cellmates. We'd be telling this story. So we're freaking out. We're like, Clemmer, what the fuck? And he goes, get that flashlight. So we grab a flashlight, and we're shining them out in the water. And there are water moccasins so thick that it looks like a woven blanket. Swimming all around. He had swam into, there was a school of water moccasins going down the river, and Brickman had swum right out into the middle of them. And if Clemmer's not shooting on either side of him, Brickman's dead.
Probably.
Because he
was the start of it.
It was insane.
Oh, God, because we've all seen the movie, what was it, Lonesome Dove, when the kid got bit by all the water moccasins.
I've never seen anything like that in my life. And thank God. Thank God for Chad Clemmer and his redneck hunting ways. But he was a perfect shot, dropping him 6 foot on either side of Brickman. And the snakes were parting as he was moving his way towards the shore and made it back to the shore.
Oh, my God.
Yep. Yep. So that was fun. So
you've seen you burned a stripper's butt in Arkansas. I mean, in Hot Springs, you've the car's broke down. You've waited 15 hours drunk on top of the car. Now you go to Hot Springs. You burn a stripper's butt with a silver dollar. Brickman can't get in because he looks 11. You've gone down and got on a river. Brickman almost got killed by snakes as you're trading Pringles with Greg. With Greg the Whippet, the Wonder Dog.
Most people call that a lifetime story. We call that Tuesday.
That's Tuesday.
So okay. We get back, story's over, Brickman's safe, we get back in the boat, we start going back down the river. We're pretty proud of ourselves. And now Clemmer's got this gun out, and we're like, hey, let us shoot that gun. And so now everybody's...
Yeah, we're drunk, let me shoot it.
We're in the wilderness. So Greg's taking a turn, and they're shooting towards birds and this type of stuff. Nobody can hit anything except Clemmer shooting snakes, but he couldn't hit anything else. So as we come around the final turn, there are, I don't know what, Greg, 100 people waiting.
Oh, yeah. Bank.
Like there's a balcony that was up like on the side of the hill where the cabins were. And then we're coming down on the river where you pull the canoes up.
They were not happy.
We don't know what's going on. We're like, man, there's a party going on. We showed up at the right time. They're waiting for us. Because we've been shooting a pistol at endangered species in a national park.
Yep.
And y'all are the last ones to get to the bus ride back.
Oh, they knew
it. Oh, exactly. No, you went back to the campground.
Oh,
yeah. Went back to the campground.
You ended at the campground. That's where everything kind of ended up.
So here come
the Rangers. And thank God we had made friends with them, because they're like, so where's the gun? And we're lying. I the best lie we've ever told. We're like, we don't have a gun. And so Greg's like, you got a beautiful horse, though. They're on horses. Greg's complimenting the horse and flirting with the girl. And I don't know how we managed not to get arrested, but we managed. And we didn't get kicked out of the park. That was the thing, is we stayed there. Oh, my God, it was so intense. So we're shooting at endangered species. Brickman almost gets eaten by snakes. We come back. The entire camp now has torches, and the peasants want to kill us. and we end up camping there for the night. So we figure that that's enough for the day. Nope. We keep drinking. It's 6:30, 7 o'clock at night. Greg said today, he goes, did we ever eat? And I'm like, I don't think we ate the whole time we were there.
Well, not when your dog keeps taking the Pringles across the thing to try to. It's like a lab.
Now, no, apparently there was football with a prong.
Yes, there was. So Greg and I are drunk. Shocker.
Uh-huh.
And we're drinking Wild Turkey and Busch Beer Boilermakers. Now, if you don't know what a Boilermaker is.
Out of a thermos.
We got a thermos about this tall. And we're pouring an entire 16-ounce Busch beer into it. And the room that's left gets filled with Wild Turkey. And that's what we're drinking.
Yeah, that's about like right.
Two or three of them. I don't know how we were functioning. So
seemed like a good idea at the time.
My liver hurts right now.
This is why Greg and I were so dangerous together, because he'd go, hey, what do you think about drinking an entire bottle of Wild Turkey, a case of Busch Light, and playing with guns? And I go, all right.
I'll do you one better.
Let's do it with blindfolds.
Yeah. Let's play football with a frog.
This story actually gets worse. So we are so drunk we can barely walk. I'm not even sure we're wearing clothes at this point. So we find this big.
Please be wearing clothes. Please be wearing clothes.
Most of the time we weren't. We find this big old frog. And so we start pitching it back and forth to one another. And we're spreading out, seeing how far we can throw this thing.
Is it a bullfrog?
Yeah, and we're not doing very well with this frog. And we drop it. Well, the thing finally dies. And I feel awful about that. The thing finally dies. And we felt awful about it. As a matter of fact, we felt so awful about it, we decided we should give it a proper burial. So we go back to the camp, and we get a can of kerosene. And as we're walking back to where the frog was, Greg says, I bet I can outrun that can of kerosene. And me, in my logical fashion, went, let's find out. So he says, I'm going to dump the can upside down, and I'm going to take off running. You count to five, and then throw a match on it. Okay.
Hey, how many times did we run back and forth?
Three or four, at least.
The kids thought it was fireworks.
Oh, my God. We were trying to, once he did it, he was like, wasn't that big of a deal? I'm like, I can do it further. And so now we're seeing who can go the furthest.
I'm just hoping that Brickman had his clothes on, because you ought to got charged with child molestation.
I'm pretty sure Brickman was asleep.
Okay, go. I want to hear this.
Oh, so now we've got the can of kerosene. It's almost empty. So we break free a canoe. All the canoes are tied up on the beach, right? Like, I don't know, 50 or 60 of them. This is where everybody gets their canoe and brings it back.
Right.
So it's 3 o'clock in the morning. There's nobody out there. So I don't know how we did it, but we managed to break one of these canoes free. We fill it with kindling. Every branch we can find around us. Like, it had to have taken us an hour. I don't mean we found a couple of sticks and wadded up some toilet paper and threw it in there. We filled the whole fucking canoe with sticks and shrubs and tree branch, everything we could find.
The whole time we're crying over this damn bullfrog.
We have to do right by him. Fill this canoe with kindling, smother it in kerosene, set the frog in the middle, light the canoe onto metal canoe. So it's not going to burn. It may melt later, but it's not going to burn. Light it on fire and push it down the river.
Did y'all ever see it again?
No, but Foot finds us half naked on the beach, saluting the frog. as he floats down the river. John, I'm telling you, flames were 4 foot high out of this canoe. It wasn't a little fire. It was a fucking inferno.
And this thing, and I believe at that time it was time to go.
Yep.
What did y'all packed up and got in the van?
No, we have one more day left, And so we spent the next night and day, because we're out of money, we're out of beer, we're out of everything, trying to trap a raccoon. We found a raccoon that had gotten into our food, and I'm pretty sure it was Clemmer that thought he could catch him. Now, we had a gun, but we decided not to use that. Instead, we used an empty case of beer, a stick, a piece of rope, and whatever little bit of food we had left, a chunk of bacon, a Pringle, something, trying to trap this damn raccoon.
So basically, you're a bipolar MacGyver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about the gun? Well, that would be bad.
Well, it would have been tough to shoot the gun actually in the campground.
Yes, that's true.
That's against the rules, I hear.
We couldn't deny that.
Because you guys were following the rules.
That's right. Well, once we learned them.
Yes.
Dead or in prison, I'm telling you. Dead or in prison 100 times.
Yep. Oh, my God.
So certainly didn't do well on the SATs.
That is our Arkansas River trip. It was amazing. I don't know how we survived it. I truly don't. To this day, every time I tell that story, there's at least four times I stop and think, we should be dead. Like, we should, one of us should have come back dead from that trip. There's no way.
Well,
wait.
We got off the beaten path. We got lost. We were on a dirt road, and we came across this waterfall, which was about a 10 or 12 foot drop into this pool. And we just decided we were going to jump in there head first and dive into it. We had no idea if there were stumps, rocks, anything in there, but we could see that there was a ladder coming out. But yeah, that was, I think about that all the time, how I didn't end up paralyzed.
Oh my gosh.
Not us jumped in. Luganus did a swan dive from 8 feet up. I'm not kidding.
Fights?
Yes. We're on a ledge. And the pool is down, it's easily 6 to 8 feet up. And he's like, I got this. And swan dive, if you've ever been to Greg's house, he dove in the pool all the time. He's actually a very talented diver.
Yeah.
And
he goes up and I'm not kidding. I mean, really, he's very gifted with it. So he goes up and comes straight down into the water. I mean, he'd have got a 10 in the Olympics because there was very little splash. And we all thought the same thing. We're like, he's probably dead. And then he came up and we were like, ah, he's good. Let's all go. So we all went in. That was on our trip back.
We were in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah, nobody would have found us.
Yeah, let me ask you this. So I didn't go on this trip, and it sounds like I missed out. But I can remember right after high school, and it was later, Jay, you and me and somebody, was it you, Fights? We all went down to New Braunfels. And when we were coming,
we floated the river.
Yep. And when we came back, the cheerleaders were going to cheerleading camp.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So I got
– You had that Indiana Jones hat.
Yeah, I got invited to the B trip. Okay, I wasn't on the A team. I got invited to the B trip.
No, and there was a cheerleading competition in Dallas, and didn't you meet like the New Braunfels girls or something like that?
Yeah, I'm on the way up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they were coming for SMU cheerleading camp is what they were doing.
That's right.
Which is exactly where we were going.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was.
So are we.
Oh, God.
Small world.
That's the trip I remember. But that one wasn't near as exciting as the trip to Arkansas.
No.
No, it's like Disney World. We came back and the youngest kid was sad, so we took him to Six Flags.
Yeah. I want to, you know, in all honesty, I know you said you weren't invited or whatever. I there was some reason I didn't go, and I
don't remember what it was.
I think I had started, you know, right after high school, my parents got me a job I did it for about 2 months working for a garage door company. And I think it started right after school, and you guys were going. I was like, man, I got to start this job. And then y'all came back, and we ended up going to New Braunfels, and then I quit and went to Cheddar's. So I got tired of glazing garage doors.
Yep. I remember John was the responsible one. He's like, my parents got me a job. I have to start growing up. I'm out of high school now. We were like, screw you. We're going to shotgun beers and drive a stolen van.
Well, and I wanted to be responsible up until you came back. And I've forgotten all these stories, man. But I remember I've started to remember them as you're telling them, and I'm like, yeah, it seems like I was very jealous when y'all got back and thought, man, I really need to live my life is what I need to do. Because, Greg, you ended up after that summer, you ended up at Tech, right? Is that where you ended up going?
Yeah, went up at Tech. I was there for a couple of years, and I came back for a year. And then I went back to Tech, and then I ended up in Florida for a year of all places. And then
that's where you and Jason went to Florida.
Yep. That's a whole nother podcast.
And then next week when Greg comes back and talks about me sleeping on a doormat.
Oh man. And yeah, I don't like to talk about Florida. I'm glad you're there now, but you know, he came back and I'm not going to get into it. Your kids.
I had to move back here just to redeem myself.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Just to do it on a better note. But
that is a whole nother story. Like, we may have to have Greg back on to talk about me, him, and Tim.
Tim who?
His brother.
Oh, okay. Was and Tim the brother. One that went?
Yeah. So I'll give you a little flavor of it. Just a little taste, and then we'll bring them back, because I think the three of me, Tim, and Greg on this story would be hilarious. They had a girl friend, really just a girl that was a friend that they met at Texas Tech. And so Greg and Tim were moving to Tampa to live in a house down here that your uncle owned, right? It was a Hillsborough County
show. He found it for us, but yeah.
Okay. Did he own it? I don't remember.
The people next door owned it. Remember with the stripper on the pool table?
Yep, that's right. That's right. It's all coming back to me now.
Yeah. And so, Colin, remember Colin, the English guy next door?
Oh, my God. Oh, we have to come back and tell the story.
Okay.
It's an amazing story. So long story short, I'm living in Dallas. Greg calls and says, Tim and I are going to live on the beach in Florida. Want to go? I'm like, all right, I don't have a car. And he goes, that's all right. Lisa Tolato will be driving through Dallas in a few hours. Just get the car with her. I went, all right, put all my shit in two hefty bags and jumped in a car with a girl I did not know and moved to Florida.
Well, now this one I was invited to. Y'all invited me to go too, and I was too chicken. I was like,
you
were just going to go to Florida? And we were working at Cheddar's or wherever at the time, and it was like, you're just going to go to Florida? And y'all are like, yeah. And I don't know why I didn't, and was like, I was the one that always played caution at first, which is unbelievable with some of the crap I pulled. But then
Can you imagine if you didn't?
Oh, I know it. Jeez.
You know, exactly. I'll tell you, we've been running right at an hour here, so we're going to bring it in conclusion here. But while I got Greg on the phone, you know, we've been able to reconnect recently in the last month or so, and I've missed him terribly. It's
like, oh, God, Greg, I miss you too, man.
I miss you guys. This has been fantastic.
I got to tell you, I have so many fond memories with Greg Feitz, and I know we laugh about being – drunk in Arkansas and that type of stuff, but that guy was a symbolic part of my life. He was one of my limbs, and I enjoyed every second I ever spent with
him. You ain't kidding.
His brother, his parents, his family.
Yeah, I mean, we had a good time.
It was an amazing time, and those of you who experienced it with us, and I'm talking about Terry Hester and Carla Colvin and Nancy Hogue and all.
Hey, we were not going to bring up people in the hot tub.
Oh my God. Jason just named all three of them in one shot. But we had such an amazing childhood, and we did so many things, most of them stupid, but harmless. And we just had an amazing time. And you know, there's a lot of difficult things that we all went through in our lives later on, but I wouldn't trade any of those moments for anything in the world. They define who we are right now. And I'm so proud to have had them.
Well, we hung Feitz house was the house to hang at our senior year. It was where we went. And his mom and dad were very cool and responsible, by the way. They were like,
oh, they were gone.
Yeah, they were like,
yeah.
Were they already gone?
No, they were. That's when they left, when Tim was a senior. No, they were here. My dad wasn't around a lot. He was working, but he was out of the state.
Oh, okay. But they were very cool. I mean, look, and we went over there all the time, and the number of times that we slept on the floor or, you know, on a couch or whatever over at that house, and we did it. Because I remember, Greg, you Did you come
drink there, but you had to stay there?
Yes, absolutely. Yep. And that was the Martins did that too, but for that one night. But at Fight's house, no, it was, if we went there, we knew we weren't leaving because they weren't going to let us.
Yeah.
But I remember, so Greg, were you a sophomore when you came to Duncanville?
Freshman.
You were a freshman.
My freshman year.
Okay, because we met our freshman year then. We had a class together, and I didn't know you from Bird or Reed, and no. You had told me you were from Detroit. Or you were from Michigan. You were from Detroit, yeah. Right? So
family in Detroit, but I was from Michigan, yeah.
Yeah. And so, and immediately hit it off. And before you knew it, we were all hanging and doing stuff together, starting our freshman year. And, wow, that was, man. I'm glad we found you, bud.
I remember being at your house, and Greg and I were, I don't want to say we were world-class quarters players because that would be underestimating our skill set. But we were really fucking good.
No, you put me under the table many times with your talent and skills.
Yep. And we thought we were so good, we tried to teach his dad how to play quarters. And he drank us until we spoke Japanese.
Yeah, he whooped our ass.
Yes.
I could not. I thought we were going to put his dad underneath the table. Nope. we were rookies. He destroyed us.
And talent, you two could get the girls. And I had such a hard time getting the girls. And I, that's why I was hanging. I was like, if you'll reject somebody, I'm here. You know what I mean? I'm not going to name who it was.
But that clean up.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm in the hole. I can remember, and I'm not going to say who this is, and it was so great. But there was a girl that I had interest in, and she blew me off. She just didn't want to, and I'm like, okay. And so when we didn't have a date or whatever, like, I'm going to Greg's, and I pull up to Greg's, and I walk down the sidewalk to go back to the back, and he's in the hot tub with that girl. And I was not mad at Greg because that's Greg. And I'm like, I would have done it too. But, man, she apologized to me 800 times. And then Greg was like, hey, man, I'm sorry. I'm like, dude, it ain't you, man. I don't have any problem with that. And I was like, God, if I had that skill, I don't know, how do I get that skill?
It's a gift.
It is. It's why I'll never get divorced. Like
stars on the – We should have had stars on the cement next to the hot tub.
The walk of fame or shame in some of the cases.
Yeah, or shame. You get a star.
They taught LeBron James how to shoot a jumper, baby. It just comes natural.
Yep. Oh, fuck.
Oh, that's God. Hilarious.
I haven't thought about this in so long.
Oh, man. And it was a pure talent because the two girls that fought me off, they would be on the shame while y'all's names would be on the fame.
Fought me off.
Huh?
The two girls that fought me off.
Well, no, it all started out good with a little smooching and having fun, but, you know, you're in a hot tub, your hands start going places. And it was tough when Greg was on the other side of the hot tub doing well, and I'm over here with someone going –
John, help her kill that fly.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Well, Greg, I'm sorry that we've destroyed your wedding and your relationship with your brother all in a 20-minute session. But
good. My wife told me, she said, are you doing that podcast today? And I said, yeah. And she said, are we still going to be married when it's over? And I said, I don't know.
Hey, I'm telling you now, she caught a gem. She got a good one here, so she's going to still be married. She's now, there's only confirmation that that's going to be there, that she's going to be like, wow, you know what? I must have some talent to capture this guy. That's pretty good. So, hey, listen, let's wind this thing down. Hey, listen, it's been a great pleasure to have Greg Fights on here as we talked about the Buffalo River Deliverance, which is – you know what? When someone tells you they're going to tell a story and you're going, oh, boy, is this going to pay off? It paid off. That was good. The Viking the Viking funeral for a frog that they played football with. Try to describe that. Greg, we really appreciate it, bud, and we're going to do this again. You got to come back on for more stories.
Absolutely, man. It's been a pleasure. All mine.
All right, Jay and all of y'all, we're going to do it together when we say it. We're going to throw up the deuces like we say at the end of every one of them. Guys, don't forget to go to the website, go to the Twitter, go to the Facebook page, go wherever you are. But everybody else, we'll see you later. We're going to put them up, and what do we say?
Deuces.
Okay, guys. All right, we'll see you next time, guys.
Two Farts in a Can would like to remind you that on the Buffalo River Deliverance trip, no animals were actually harmed. Well, except the snakes that Chad Klimmer shot and the frog that apparently Greg and Jason played catch with. But other than that, no animals were hurt. Thank you.